289, the gospel is of God, to magnify his Son by, for Jesus Christ our Lord, by power God's will it done, by power he crushed the serpent's head, by power God raised him from the dead, alone upon the cross, his cross, God's judgment Jesus bore, he paid in full the cost of glory evermore, his precious blood was freely shed on Jesus Christ, the serpent's head. 289, and just remaining to sing.
Yeah.
Prayer again at the beginning of the meeting. Our Father, again we come to Thee in the peerless and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we have this access right into the immediate presence of Almighty God, the Eternal One, the Creator and Sustainer of all things, the God who so loved that He gave. And we thank Thee again for another opportunity to open the sacred book in this way and to proclaim the unsearchable riches that are found in Thy beloved Son, to present the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and the great invitation to the whosoever will may come. We thank Thee that it's still the day of grace and the long suffering of God our Saviour, who would have all men, boys and girls, men and women, from every race and from every nation, across the acres of earth, who will have them all to come unto Him and obtain the eternal salvation, to understand and have forgiveness of sins and be sure of a home in heaven. We thank Thee again for the laws of this land that permit us to gather like this after so many weeks and months that we couldn't. And now again the goodness of God is being displayed. Lord, look upon us and prevent each and every one gathered that this whole COVID thing, that it might not in any way affect them. And that as we gather here together and listen again to Thy word, and as we open the sacred book and present the claims of Christ from it, that indeed the Holy Spirit of God would be pleased to operate in the hearts and minds of some who are still on the road that leads to eternal perdition. Thy word would call it the broad road, where there are so many pleasures and enjoyments, and yet Thy word would say that they're only for a little while. Those things that are seen are temporal, but the unseen things are eternal. And that tonight we're going to present the gospel in all its greatness and all its fullness and in all its glory. O God, that Thou would be pleased to help us as we endeavour to do so, and that glory and honour would be brought to Thy great name, and that some soul, even in the gathering tonight, someone who as yet knows the gospel, has heard the gospel, and yet as yet has never placed their trust in Thy beloved Son. Lord, would it please Thee tonight, this would be a night to remember whenever they trusted Him and became assured of sins forgiven and heaven as their home. What we ask for Newton Breda, we ask for every other centre where the truth of God is told forth in all simplicity, and that God will be glorified. These are our prayers. We just leave them with Thee and thank Thee again for the opportunity in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen. Now it is nice to see all who have come to the gathering this evening. There are the announcements, as you know, and they're all subject to the will of God, the little word DV. Some young fellow asked me, or some person asked me the other day, what does that DV mean? Oh, I could tell them very simply. It's a Latin word, but it just simply means, if God spares us. If God spares us, we don't know what a day will bring forth. I don't know if I get home tonight, and neither really do you. But we know that God, He's in control. And so in the will of God, the prayer and meeting and the Bible study on Thursday at 7:45, and we're looking at Luke chapter 9, and then the breaking of bread on Lord's Day at 11 a.m, and the Sunday school, the Bible class at 3, the prayer meeting 6:30, and the gospel meeting 7, and the speaker is our brother Stephen Mullen, and of course all are welcome. And the clarion call goes out. Still lots of empty seats. If you can invite someone, just even in passing. I remember years ago, I don't know, maybe I told you. One night Ed and I were driving up the avenue. I said, stop. And there was this old gentleman, he came out, and he was walking down the avenue, and he was a real gentleman. I got out, and we greeted one another. I said, tell me, where are you going at this time of the night? He says, Peter, I'm just going for a walk. He said, tell me, would you come with me to hear the gospel? Oh, he says, Peter, I only go to church once on Sunday. I said, would you not just tonight for me, would you come and we'll sit at the back, and if you want to leave early, no problems, we'll come. Well, he was a real old gentleman. I had known him for years. He says, Peter, just not tonight. Not tonight. I said, well, I'll not press the issue. That was a Sunday. Friday, that man was in eternity. God had given him a last opportunity. God had spoken to him that night. God had said, Peter, you stop and ask him. Peter stopped and asked him. He never heard the message. He was launched out into eternity. And only God knows where he is tonight. You see, this message of the gospel that we speak about, this is not frivolous. This is fact. I want to read with you just a verse from the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 1. That lovely verse that, we all know so well and are familiar with. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does his best and pays all that he has and prays. No, the Bible doesn't say anything like that. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, that trusteth, that cometh, that accepteth. And as we'll see what that really means. The Lord blesses his word. Some years ago, I had tuned into the radio, and whatever it was on, a young lady came on, or a woman came on, and she started to tell a bit about her history, that her life was really in a bad way, and that she had been treated very badly, and that people wouldn't listen to her. So she said, I sat down and I wrote a book. I wrote a book about my experiences, that I could pass it on to other young women or whoever thought necessary to read it, about my experiences and how I got round them and how I overcame them. And she said, I didn't know what title to put on it. She said, I just put three words. Three simple words that everybody understands. Nobody will not misunderstand them. She said, I called this book that I wrote, Help and Hope and Happiness. She said, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help those who, like me, had fallen into trouble and problems, and life was really dreadful. And how I was treated and all that. So she said, having written the book, she said, I wrote and gave it the title, Help and Hope and Happiness. You know, as I thought of that even today, this is God's book of help. This is God's book of hope. This is God's book of happiness. The Bible. God's book of help. You need it. God's book of hope. This is the only surety we have in life. What the book of God says. You and I don't know what a day brings forth. But what we can be sure of is what's in the book of God. Hope. And of course joy and happiness at the end of it all. This lovely verse that we have read together tonight, the man who was guided to write it, he was a skeptic, you know. He used to poo-poo these things. He used to say, no, not at all. You don't need all that. You've got the Jewish religion. But one day God spoke to him. Oh, that God would speak to some young boy or young woman or older one in the meeting tonight and just say, now sit and listen. This is for eternity. This is important. This is far greater than the schoolwork. Oh, but schoolwork's necessary. But this message of the gospel, it's superior in every way. It's for eternity. The things that you learn at school, very necessary. God bless you and help you. But they'll help you through life. But what we speak about as this man wrote, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You see, what we could do is we could look at this for a few moments, but it's not my... To look at the source of this gospel. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Christ. It doesn't come from Westminster, or it doesn't come from Washington, or it doesn't come from any of those places. Not at all. These men know nothing. This is of God. Oh, that men and women would understand that the gospel is of God. That's why we sang that lovely hymn. God hath designed it. And then we read in our verse that it was the gospel of Christ. God, they planted away back in eternity past. In the book of Samuel, you read in chapter 14, that eternal God, that triune God, they devised a plan whereby sinners such as us, that our sins could be forgiven and we could be sure of heaven. And then there came that momentous day planned by God. And upon the center cross outside the city of Jerusalem, it was purchased. Purchased by the Son of God. When he offered himself to God as a living sacrifice for you. Do you ever think about it? That God loves you so much that he gave his Son. People say to me up and down this the land, but Peter, why then is so much trouble and problems in the world? Oh, the answer is very clear. It's because of that little word, S-I-N, sin. That's why there's hospitals. That's why there's graveyards. That's why there's infirmary. That's why of all of these, because of sin. But God so loved it again. Oh, I would love to explain it, but I really haven't got the vocabulary to tell you in simple that God loves you. Christ upon the cross, he purchased it. Purchased it with his own precious blood. When he cried, it's finished. The great work of redemption was done. Finished. Satisfied. And now, there's a pledge. And there's a promise, and it's in the Bible. And the Bible says, indeed, God himself would say, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Could you come? Could you come? You say, mister, I couldn't keep it. Look at the wee girls in my class. If I went and told them that I had become a Christian, they would laugh at me. You know, my dad used to say something. And he didn't know a great lot about the Bible. God bless him. He used to say, Peter, your friends in school and in work, they laugh you into hell, but they never laugh you out of it. I thought of that for years. They laugh you in. They say you don't need to bother about that. That's for the religious people. That's for the people that can't enjoy life. No, my friend, the Bible says that all have sinned. That includes you. But here is a gospel. The gospel of Christ. the source, eternal God, the salvation that he offers, and the scope it includes you. I want to talk to you just for a wee moment about this gospel as a revelation. What this gospel does, you know, it's just not a lot of words. No, this gospel, what it does is this. This gospel declares that God is holy. God is holy. You know what I mean by holy? God, the Bible says, he cannot look upon sin. This thing called sin is obnoxious to God. He can't look upon it. And of course, as we all know, he says in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, he says, nothing that defileth sin will ever be in heaven. You take it from the Bible that no matter what people say to you, there's only two places. There's heaven and there's a place called hell. And my Bible tells me this, that if you're not in heaven, then it'll be hell and the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Peter Morrison says. I want you to understand this gospel that we've read about. This gospel that this man Paul, he's not ashamed of. I want you to think of it as a revelation. It tells us very clearly that God is holy and cannot look upon sin, your sin, and he'll judge it. But then again I read that this gospel that we preach, this gospel that we speak about, oh, it tells me the heart of God. It tells me of a God who so loved. You see, it doesn't say, it just says God loved. No. The Bible's very clear. It says so loved. That little word S-O, you all know what it means. God so loved. Oh, his heart was love. He loved Peter Morrison. He loved you. He loved the world. That's why the gospel that we have, it reveals these truths to us, that God is holy. And because God is holy, heaven is holy. And because of your sin, if it's never forgiven, you'll never be in heaven. I want you to think of this gospel again. The Bible speaks about it as men and women and boys and girls being lost. I go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19, and I read there in verse 10, I think it is, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lost. Two boys were in the city of Belfast a few years ago. One was a big brother and one was a little fellow. And the big boy, he was found to be crying. And the policeman came up to him. He said, what's wrong with you, son? Well, he says, mister, I'm lost. He says, what about the wee fella? He's not crying. But mister, he doesn't know he's lost. He doesn't know he's lost. Do you understand what that means? Being lost. You say, mister, I'm not lost. Sure, I live such and such and such and such and such and such. And my mommy and daddy live and I live with them. Oh, my dear friend, what the Bible means when it speaks about lost. You're lost to God. I was going to say you're of no value to God, but that would be wrong. You're very valuable to God. But God can't use you. Why? Because you're lost to him. Your desires are for other things. Not the things that God... But I want you to think of this gospel not only as a revelation, and I'll have to finish and I've only started. I want you to think of this gospel as it tells forth the Redeemer. The Redeemer. Not only a revelation of the heart of God. Not only a revelation of the condition of mankind. Man's sinfulness and wickedness. And the heart of God for love. No, this gospel, what it does, it speaks of a Redeemer. Way back in the book of Isaiah, he says, I will send a Redeemer, a great one, and he shall deliver thee. And then, of course, there are so many other verses that speak to us about this great deliverance. The deliverance of God. The God who is holy. And this God, he has provided a redeemer. You see, how did he repay? What is a redeemer? What is redemption means? Redemption means the sort of buyback, that which has been lost. You've heard me say that you're lost to God. Sweetheart, put that away, darling. Put that away, please. Thank you. Thank you. You're a lady. God, you're lost to God. God can't use you because you're occupied with it. And man is lost. But God has sent the Son. God has sent the Redeemer, the Savior. And he sent him from the heights of glory when he came to the manger in Bethlehem. Then he went to Golgotha's tree, and there upon that cross, he suffered the judgment of God against sin. Your sin. The sin of the world. And he paid the price of sin. And now, as a Redeemer Savior, as a Redeemer God, God hath made it possible for man and woman and boys and girls to have their sins forgiven. You say, mister, I don't want to hear about sins forgiven. I want to get away out and play and have fun. You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says? The Bible would call you a fool. The Bible says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. No God for me, said the fool. God looks down on those important things in life. The most important, as I've said, greater than all the knowledge in school. Here's the message of the gospel, and that's for you tonight. You need a savior. You need forgiveness of sins. You can have forgiveness of sin through the redemption that is in Christ. Through the redemption. Oh, this gospel, it's a gospel of revelation. It's a gospel of a Redeemer who suffered and bled and died upon the cross, that your sins might be forgiven and that you might be in heaven. But it's not only that. It's a gospel of reconciliation. Because, you know, the Bible tells me that as you stand and sit, you're far from God. You're very far from God. If God is holy, and you say, I'm a sinner, what then can bring the sinner and God together? Well, we've spoken about it. It's the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and bled and died for sinners. The one who died that you might live. Now, the question is this. You've heard the gospel. You've been told that God loves you. Christ has paid the price upon the cross. Your sins can be forgiven. Now the choice is yours. What are you going to do? You say, mister, I don't know. I don't want to make a fool of myself when I go back to school or home and tell them, well, I'm thinking about these things. They'll laugh at me. Remember what I said? They'll laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. They'll never. Hell is a dreadful place. If you want to read about it, you go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 16. And you read about a man in hell. He says, tell my brother not to come. A dreadful, dreadful place. That's then. It's a gospel that advises us that if you reject the gospel, if you reject the message of salvation, and you die without Christ, without sins forgiven, my Bible says, heaven you'll never see, it will be hell and the lake of fire forever. Tell me, just for a moment, think earnestly, sincerely, what are you going to do with Jesus? There's a man in the Bible, he was asked that question. He says, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? What are you going to do with him? You see, when you go through the door tonight, you may never have another opportunity to hear the gospel. Before morning's light, you could be in eternity. I don't know. You don't know. Wouldn't it be wise? Wouldn't it be sensible to place your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior? Acknowledge I'm a sinner, for he has told me to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Could you do that? Could you do that tonight? Could you do that now? Remember, procrastination. You know what that big word means? It just means putting things off. I'll deal with that tomorrow. Procrastination. I'll deal with that tomorrow. I'll be thinking straighter. My mind will be clearer. You know what my Bible says? We don't know what a day brings forth. I'm emphasizing that tonight. Oh, I hope and pray that tonight you'll not reject the call of the gospel, but that tonight you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and come into the blessing of salvation. I'll have to stop. Shall we pray? Our Father, we look to thee another time and ask for thy blessing upon thy precious word, the truth of God and the gospel, how that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Bless every head bowed in thy presence, and those in our gathering who seem to sit there said, O God, that thou wouldst deal, that thou wouldst awaken them to their great, great need of a Saviour and of forgiveness of sins. We look to thee, O God. Thou hast promised to bless thy word. We just leave it with thee, and as we part, that thou wilt bless each head, bowed in thy presence, giving thanks in our Lord's precious name. Amen. Amen. Now again, I thank you for your attention, Reverend, and just if you would file out from the back, and then our meeting is over. Thank you very much again, and you remember there's a meeting next Lord's Day again at the same hour. Please come back again.